Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
I call him my miracle baby. He almost didn't make it into this world. I can remember so many times when I almost lost him. It was so hard. Well, he's all grown up now, and I still worry about his health. You know, with all our family's been through, we have to be tough. Timmy, I'm trying to tell our story here.
Sorry about that, Mom. You still worry about me, Mom?
Well, yeah, you're not nearly as tough as I am.
Well, for me, when I was watching the Super Bowl yesterday, that came and went very quickly. It was almost over before I realized what it was. I was watching this much controverted ad featuring Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow and his mom. And this is what the feminists and this is what the pro-abortion forces in the United States were calling a dangerous ad, dangerous to women's health, dangerous to women's rights. It seemed pretty innocuous, kind of cute. And if you didn't watch it, like we just heard it, you didn't notice that it ended with the link to Focus on the Family for the rest of the story. Not much of the story told there. We're going to be talking about the Tim Tebow ad, that controversial Super Bowl ad that aired yesterday on this Monday afternoon, February the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. This is Issues Etc. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. First, we'll talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse about that ad, get her reaction, and then I want yours, some audio open lines. 1-877-623-MYIE. What did you make of the Tim Tebow ad during the Super Bowl yesterday? 1-877-623-6943. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us a little bit later on this Monday to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll talk about the Transfiguration. Then in the second hour of the program, interesting conversation with Pamela Geller about the impact of feminism on young girls. Mark Hemingway will join us to talk about the Tea Party Convention. They had a national convention in Nashville, if I'm not mistaken, and third-party politics, if such a thing is even possible in the United States. Rita Marker will round off today's program. We'll talk about a new study on the brain activity of people who are allegedly in a persistent vegetative state. Rita Marker of the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide will be our guest in the last half hour of the program. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is a regular guest. She's founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. She joins us live from a cafe in New York City. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, now that the ad has aired, do you think that the fears of feminists about it were warranted?
You know, Todd, I saw that ad. It went by so fast and was so tame, I couldn't believe there was any controversy over it. I looked at it and said, is that all there is? Is this what all the fussing was about? And I went and put it up on my Facebook page right away and everything. My Facebook friends wrote to me and said, yeah, that was nothing. There was nothing there. So I think that some of these women in the feminist movement have too much time on their hands and need to get a life.
So do you think that it will be an ad that is effective for promoting the pro-life cause and, in this case, kind of more broadly, the pro-family cause?
You know, that was my second thought. My first thought was that the feminists need to get a life. My second thought was, I can't believe Focus on the Family spent that much money on an ad that was so tame and so lame and that you couldn't even tell what it was about. You couldn't tell why he almost didn't make it into the world. You know, it was so indirect. You know, and I'm thinking, what did they spend on this ad? They spent $2 million on this ad? we could have done a lot of student conferences at the Ruth Institute for $2 million. We could have put in a lot of lectures for $2 million. You know, I'm just not at all convinced that that was a good use of the pro-life universe's resources there.
Jan, what do you think was behind the what I think was just unbelievable, just overblown pre-reaction to this ad?
Well, I think that the feminist establishment realizes that they've lost the younger generation. You know, that people nobody anymore believes that abortion is about women's rights in the same way that they once did. I mean, that those arguments have the ground has shifted underneath them, and they really don't know what to do. So, Focus on the Family is their favorite bad guy, and you know, I really almost feel like they were reacting instinctively and not really thinking very much.
What is it about feminism that when it comes to abortion, immediately their antenna are up? No other issue seems to raise their ire like abortion.
Yeah, that's very interesting, isn't it? I mean, I think this is exactly where they've lost the younger generation, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of young women are feeling like, well, can't we have a women's movement without killing small children? I mean, you know, this just doesn't add up to us anymore, you know? So for them to be so hypersensitive about it, I mean, I think that was their issue. And, you know, they're the establishment now, and they don't realize they're the establishment. They are no longer cutting edge. They are governing, and they haven't quite adapted to the new reality. That's the best I can make out of it, Todd, because it really, really seemed to me to be a controversy over nothing. You know, for them to react that much to an ad that was that tame, I don't think they did themselves any favors. Let's put it that way.
What do younger American women, where do they place abortion on their spectrum of ideas? And are they following what appears to be the trend over about the last 5 or 10 years of Americans generally souring on the idea of abortion? If not against it, they're generally souring on the idea.
That it's possible for women to have fulfilled professional lives and fulfilled personal lives without radical abortion rights. And I think that I can only tell you what I saw when I was at the March for Life a couple of weeks ago. I should say the West Coast Walk for Life in San Francisco. You know, there were 40,000 people there, Todd, in San Francisco. And there were a lot of young people. I mean, I'm telling you, a lot of young people. There were teenagers. There were college students. And, you know, they're happy. They're joyful. They're looking forward to a life that doesn't require such a thing, you know. So I think they're thinking ahead a little bit more than the feminists maybe gave them credit for.
So why was abortion such a big issue for the first wave of feminists, or I should say the first wave of the left feminism?
I think what they believed was that women needed to be equal in the workplace. Well, the only way you can make women equal in the workplace is if you can somehow neutralize the impact of having children. Because having children is the thing that makes it difficult for women to earn the same amount that men earn. And all our data show that. Common sense shows that. And if women are happily married, then not earning as much as their husband doesn't matter to them as much, you know. So what they were trying to do was to get women to be independent and get women to be having their own income. And that required women to have uninterrupted career paths. And so they were really trying to promote the idea that you work the same way as a guy does. If you should get pregnant, you can put the baby in daycare right away so you don't have to interrupt your career as much. And if you want to, you can just get rid of the baby. And so really they were focused on the career aspect of it and still wanting an active sex life. And so they had to somehow neutralize the impact of the babies. And the combination of daycare and abortion is what they came up with for doing that. And I think what they didn't, I don't know whether they anticipated it or not, but I think the average person who said, oh, yeah, maybe this isn't such a bad idea, sort of didn't realize how many things would unravel as you started radically, radically separating sex from reproduction in the ways that we have been doing. And people are kind of looking at it, and at the very least they're scratching their heads. And at their best, people are realizing that there was a lot of false promise being made by the feminist movement, and that women can have fine, happy lives, thank you very much, without doing all that stuff.
Finally, then, with only 1 minute, how much of the younger generation's ambivalence, if not rejection of the abortion ethic, of the abortion ethos, is due to the fact that these young women have all grown up in an America where abortion has been legal and more or less without restriction for 37 years.
Well, I think there's two things. One is they don't really know what it would be like to not have it. You know, they don't know what that world was like that didn't have abortion. But they also realize that there are a lot of kids their age that aren't there. You know, that they're aware that their cohort is smaller than it would have been if it hadn't been for abortion. And it's surprising how often I hear young people say that. You know, that our class should have been bigger. There should have been more people in it. And so I think there's a sense of that they can't quite see what the fuss is about in favor of abortion rights. And they feel like that they would prefer to have a world where it's not necessary. And that's what women need in order to have a happy life. They're not buying it, you know, because in a sense, because they've grown up in the post-Roe versus Wade era, and have not had an abortion themselves, you know, let's say, that's the kind of person we're talking about, they realize perfectly well that it's possible to have a life and have a pretty good life without having to have access to abortion. So they, in a sense, are walking disproof of the feminist claim that all women need to have that under all circumstances. They already know that's not true because it wasn't true for them. So I think that might be part of it too, Todd.
So with only about 30 seconds, what brings you to New York?
I'm in New York lecturing at King's College in Manhattan, and tomorrow I'll be doing a debate at Columbia Law School, and tomorrow evening I'll be speaking at a group called Socrates in the City. So I have a big lineup of things planned for the next 2 days.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You'll find a link to the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. Well, happy debating.
Thanks very much, Todd. Talk to you next week.
All right, when we come back from this break, I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MY-IE. What did you think of the Tim Tebow Super Bowl ad? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon, February the 8th. The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
All right, coming up our conversation with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse about the Tim Tebow ad and yesterday's Super Bowl, I want your reaction. On this Monday afternoon, February the 8th, we are coming to you live. What did you make of the Tim Tebow ad aired during the Super Bowl yesterday? Do you think it was too tame? Were you disappointed with it? Were you pleased with it? Do you think it was worth the money that was spent? And these are very, very expensive 30-second ads. Do you think that its message was clear enough? And if so, what was that message? Or perhaps you think the message kind of got lost in the fact that you got this young man and his mother up there with a website address at the end of the ad. Now, for those of you who missed the Focus on the Family ad, we'll play it here in just a moment, but I want to hear from all of you, your reaction to the Tim Tebow ad at yesterday's Super Bowl. 1-877-623-MY-IE. It's open lines. 1-877-623-6943. Everybody has an opinion on this, unless you didn't see it at all. Everybody has an opinion on it. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Or you can Twitter us with your reaction to the Tim Tebow Super Bowl ad at issuesetc. For those of you who didn't see it, here's at least what it sounded like.
I call him my miracle baby. He almost didn't make it into this world. I can remember so many times when I almost lost him. It was so hard. Well, he's all grown up now, and I still worry about his health. You know, with all our family's been through, we have to be tough. Timmy, we're trying to tell our story here.
Sorry about that, Mom. You still worry about me, Mom?
Well, yeah. You're not nearly as tough as I am.
All right, that was it. Were you pleased with this ad? Were you disappointed by it? Do you think the message was clear? If so, what do you think the message was? Or perhaps you think the message wasn't clear enough. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. You can email us with your reaction to the Tim Tebow Super Bowl ad. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Now, these are expensive ventures. Do you think it was a wise use of Focus on the Family's resources, especially given the fact there have been some layoffs at Focus on the Family in the last calendar year? And all parachurch organizations are hurting due to the economy and other factors. You think it was a wise use of their money? Could it be better spent promoting the pro-life cause without having to buy a Super Bowl ad? I mean, it's after all only 30 seconds out of about a four-hour television extravaganza. And if you got up to refresh your drink, if you went to the bathroom, you might have missed it. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. What was the reaction of those you were watching the Super Bowl with? When this thing aired, there was a lot of conversation going on between when the commercials came on. There's probably more people paying attention to the television where I was watching the Super Bowl. But when this came on, it was about halfway through before we realized what we were watching. None of us had seen this ad before. And it was over with before we knew it was. We kind of looked at each other. What was the reaction when you and those with whom you were watching the Super Bowl saw the Tim Tebow Super Bowl ad? 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Did you watch the Super Bowl with any people who might consider themselves pro-choice? If you have a typical family, you probably did. What was their reaction? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Jack in Dallas says, I was somewhat disappointed as well, but I think Focus on the Family may have used the media to fill in the story behind the ad. Look at all the free press the ad received, and they didn't have to tell the story. The press did. Interesting. Well, if that's the case, Jack, and I think many people perceive it that way, then it was a brilliant move on their part. The story got told without telling the story. And then, of course, if anyone was interested, they could just follow the link at the end of the story to Focus on the Family to hear the rest of the story. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MY-IE. They did get a lot of unpaid advertisement before the ad ever ran. Some people might argue that was the best $2 million they may have spent if they wanted to get this pro-life message out. Was it too weak a pro-life message? I'll just give you my general reaction. I thought it was cute. But when she said, she kind of gets into the story and she says, I still worry about his health, it almost sounded to me like a commercial for breakfast cereal or vitamins. I still worry about his health. Well, sure she does. He plays football. What mother wouldn't? But that's where I thought the message kind of might have got a little bit lost. What about you? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Daniel in Iowa City says, the only reason to dislike the Tebow ad is if you hate life. All right, Daniel, thank you very much. Very simply stated. Miles in St. Louis says, the feminists got the word out before the ad that it was a pro-life ad, and the extremely mild nature of it shows the radicals for what they are to all the world. I think it was very clever. Unfortunately, Focus says that they're not running one next year, but maybe the door is open for the next ad, wherever it comes from. Well, I think the door is always open to people who are willing to pay. Did they pay too much for an ad that some people might argue didn't have a clear enough message, at least if all you did was just watch the ad and not go to Focus on the Family, or if you knew it was kind of generally pro-life? 1-877-623-6943. Twitter us at IssuesETC. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Charles emails us from Maryland, says, I was looking forward to seeing the ad, but like Dr. Morse, it was so fast that I almost missed it. Were it not for the external publicity that the ad got from the pro-abortion groups, I'd say that the ad was completely ineffective. I think the only thing that saved the ad from complete obscurity was the publicity. Because of that, some folks may have paid attention to it. As to the question of whether it was a good use of the $2.5 million, I'm going to cautiously say no, says Charles. The money would have been far better and effectively spent on pregnancy resource centers. Well, if you think about what could have been used, now, Focus on the Family may not have had a choice. They may have had that money earmarked. We don't know any of those things. So Charles in Maryland says they should have used the $2.5 million for a more practical purpose than a Super Bowl ad. And thank God they got the pre-publicity that they did. Otherwise, many might have missed it. Your reaction to the Tim Tebow Super Bowl ad, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Do you agree or disagree with Charles? Charles says, not the best use of their money, and were it not for the pre-publicity, many might have missed it. Agree? Disagree? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Now, these things are intended to have a clear message. You watch the Doritos commercial? The one with the little kid when he slaps the suitor's face and he says, keep your hands off my mother, keep your hands off my Doritos. You know exactly what that ad is all about, don't you? And you could hardly miss the Bud Light ads. There were only about 50 of them, if I counted correctly. Message quite clear, Bud Light, good. And if you're not clear in advertising, you're not advertising. So for $2.5 million, was the message of the Tim Tebow ad clear enough for those who wouldn't follow up by following it to Focus on the Family? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, talk back at issuesetc.org. A little bit later in the program, Deaconess Pam Nielsen is going to join us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll talk about the Transfiguration. That's coming up this Sunday. The church celebrates the Transfiguration of our Lord and marks the end of the Epiphany season and, more or less, the beginning of the season of Lent. That's coming up in the next half hour of Issues, etc. Mike in Los Alamos, New Mexico says, like many others, I was surprised at the tameness of the ad. I suppose the thinking is that no effective message could be given in just 30 seconds. So Focus on the Family was relying on people following the link to find out the full story, but who's going to stop watching the Super Bowl and go check it out, and who would remember the link later? One thing is certain, the kerfuffle raised by the opposition did Focus on the Family a huge favor by drawing attention to it. And maybe that was the plan all along, who knows? I mean, maybe it was the plan to create enough controversy in the media about the ad beforehand that by the time the ad aired, the message had already been delivered loud and clear, even to people who weren't going to watch the Super Bowl. We can't fault Focus on the Family for its intentions. And I think it is, if taken all by itself, apart from the context of the Super Bowl, if taken all by itself, this ad has a message of a mother saying, I'm glad that, of course, you got to know the rest of the story, but I'm glad that in spite of the dangers to myself and perhaps to the baby, I kept this baby. Look at him now. and I'm as concerned about him now as I was about him then. A positive view of motherhood and a positive view of childbirth. Best use of $2.5 million? Well, we'll see. Could it have been more practically spent? Yes. Maybe the pro-life movement is at its best when it's not trying to be clever or subtle, but simply saying things clearly and openly. Now, that probably wouldn't have been allowed by CBS. We don't know that for sure, but it probably wouldn't have been allowed by CBS, as no matter how much money they spent. And so they said, we'll get the message out that we can. I think someone once said the medium is the message. The medium demands a certain thing, like everything's got to be done within 30 seconds. Everything has to be said, it has to be visual, it has to be cute. And the pro-life message, defending life from beginning to end, is not necessarily cute. It's not necessarily something that can be stuck into 30 seconds. Not everything can, you know. It's not necessarily something that's served by being clever, or even best served by spending a lot of money at the biggest advertising venue ever. In a few minutes, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll talk about the Transfiguration. Then we'll also talk about the Book of Eli to kick off the second hour of the program. Pastor Charles Lehman of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland will be our guest. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you, like me, believe abstinence-only sex education works, there's a new and impressive study showing it's true. The results have been published in the Archives of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine. Sixth and seventh graders were given abstinence-only sex ed. Following them 2 years later, they found only a third had engaged in sex. Now compare this with the standard Planned Parenthood type sex ed, saying kids will have sex anyway, so let's give them birth control, a little pat on their heads, and send them on their way. Half of these kids had engaged in sex 2 years later. Parents, teaching your kids abstinence works. Keep doing it. There's a great brochure for kids on this topic. I'd like to send you one free. Simply visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.